I was just thinking, it's as John was sharing about Antioch, and I was thinking it's about 25 years since I left in England, since I left you all, I went to the Philippines, and it's 5 years since I was last with you here, in this same place, and 4.5 years since I've been in England, or more than 4.5 years, I think, since I've last been in England. But, you know, your family, still, even after 25 years, and it's a joy for me to, always a joy for me to be with you. So, but I was asked to share a bit about what's been happening, really, in the last 5 years in the Philippines. And so, maybe two things I'll share, two things that happened, which I hope will give encouragement and inspiration to you about the goodness of the Lord. I don't know whether we'll have time to sing it now, but I was thinking at the end we might sing the goodness of the Lord. But anyway, I hope what I say will encourage you about the goodness of the Lord. So first thing is to do with the pandemic. So some of you know, many of you know, but not all of you. My main mission and service at the moment is in a place called Payatas in the Philippines, which has a reputation of being one of the worst, poorest places, horrendous places and everything like that. I'm talking about the reputation, but I won't go into that. But during the pandemic, in the Philippines, complete shutdown. People not allowed out. Well, in Payatas, the houses are about this big, so many of them they have to get out. But people weren't able to get, even those working weren't able to get to work. And there, unlike here, no work, no pay. And virtually none of them would have any savings. So no pay, no money, no savings. And people were getting hungry. And I was also in Payatas. And I was thinking, maybe we can get food sometime for at least our scholars' families. The foundation I started called Puso ng Ama, which means Heart of the Father. And one of the things we do is scholarships. And but then I was thinking, that's a lot of people. Can we get food for 100 families? We had more than 100 scholars, or maybe we can do 200 families, people involved with us in some other way. And I was thinking, that's going to cost a lot of money. How will we do that? And I was only thinking about a few weeks. I didn't know it would last for a year and a half, 2 years, or whatever. But okay, I thought, let's do it. So we started, and first week we got some food for about 100 families, and then next week for about 200 families. And I think we got it to around 300 after that. And then, 4 a.m. in the morning, I was in bed in Payatas, and something came to me that we should aim for 10,000 families. And kind of like, that sounds crazy. I'm thinking, how can I get funds for 300? And now I'm saying 10,000. But it just came to me. So I messaged a few people on the cell phone, let's pray that we can feed 10,000 families. And then in the morning, went down, and even people shut down. We had permission from the government to distribute to 100, you know, to people. And so these all volunteers from Payatas, and I was saying to them, let's pray that we can feed 10,000 families. And then that evening, like, it seems out of nowhere. It seems like out of nowhere. It wasn't. It was a company, whatever, but I didn't know the company. They sent 10,000 cans of sardines that same evening. Not by anyone who knew that we were praying for 10,000. And I really saw that as a sign from the Lord. Not that we should try to feed exactly 10,000 families, but the Lord was saying, open your gates. Don't just be concerned with the 300, you know, the 100, 200 families that are your scholars and the others that are a part of your foundation. Go out. And so we started, and just the Lord, it was amazing. For about, I don't know exactly accurately whether it was a year and a half, 2 years, but we were ending up every day feeding. We went in a rota, but we had more than 13,500 families, so that's more than 50,000 people. And just the Lord just brought it in. It's amazing. And people used to say there. I mean, actually, I think they're wrong, but they're saying, "Oh, without you, we'd be starving." Actually, I think it was more, because it was more just, they saw that people cared. You know, they say, where's the government? Where's the government giving through? Where's, so it's an inspiration the Lord can do. You know, 10,000, suddenly 10,000 that evening. I mean, it's, yeah. So that's one story. I hope that inspires you to believe the Lord can do. The Lord can do. Next story is towards the end of the pandemic, but still pandemic time. Actually, I was feeling a bit, I thought I might have got some sort of pneumonia or something, and I sent a message in Facebook, I posted a message just saying a bit, and I said, I think I might have got pneumonia or something like that. And then there's a doctor from Couples for Christ, which actually was originally started by Ligaya, which is a sister community of Antioch. It's now massive. And a doctor from Couples for Christ saw that, and he thought, that looks more like pulmonary embolism to me. So he contacted another doctor who's a pulmonologist, and they arranged for an ambulance to take me to hospital. So I went to the Philippine Heart Center, and actually, I think it was at the Philippine Heart Center that I caught a COVID. but I ended up being in the ICU, in the COVID ICU, and I was diagnosed as having, apart from COVID, I was diagnosed as having deep and superficial vein thrombosis, both legs. So that's blood clots, deep and surface, up and down in both legs. Massive pulmonary embolism. So I had blood clots all over my lungs. That's what they thought I was going to die with. Intercerebral hemorrhage, intracranial bleeding. So that's basically hemorrhagic stroke. Severe pneumonia, hypertension. That was my official diagnosis. And so even some of the doctors were saying, this is a miracle. Actually, for interest, the main doctor in charge of things was actually from Ligaya, so the sister sort of civic community. She was here for a cardiologist conference recently. And then the one in charge of my lungs was from Couples for Christ. And then my neurologist was also, the neurologist said, you've got someone up there looking after you. so that's another story of, you know, the Lord, and I want to say thank you, because to you, so many people, unbelievable, well, not believe unbelievable, but it's amazing. So many people around the world praying for me, thousands and thousands, and also giving some support to finances for the expenses of my medical fees and everything like that. And many, many, many people from Antioch were part of that. So thank you very much. So those are kind of two stories. And then the last bit would be to share a bit why I'm here now. So although I'm not dead, as you can see, and my mind's, there we go, my mind, I don't know what my mind's like. My mind's okay, but I mean, there's what they call some atrophy in the brain, so there's some damage, some physical damage, but I might have lost some memory, maybe. Or it might just be me getting older, but basically, my brain is. The neurologist was so happy, saying it's, you know, you're as good as you were before. Really, it's, and my lungs as well. Or the massive blood clots, seem to have completely gone, and my lungs are good. My heart seems good. Got a bit of high cholesterol, but I need to. But there's still some problems with my legs. I mean, I walk pretty well. I can actually even dance at mass, yeah. I think I walk better than most, but I still have vein damage and problems, have pain, swelling, discoloration, itchiness, a whole set of stuff. And okay, this is me now. Before I go into the doctors, I think I've got what's called PTS, post-thrombotic syndrome, but it's very unlikely to be kind of fatal, but it's, if people have it or something like this, it can be just not too bad at all, not too bad, or it can really progress and get some really debilitating, what they call very bad quality of life and bad mobilization and pain and all that sort of stuff. So So there's a lot of people are very worried, much more worried than I am, actually, I'll be honest. A lot of people are very, very worried about my health, especially my order. I'm a part of a religious order now called Missionaries of God's Love. So my brothers there are all very worried. And the people in Pietas are all very worried, and some of the people in Ligaya, the Sword of Spirit community, are worried as well. And so because of that, I'm here in England to really, to cut it short, to see if I can get some sort of opinion from good medical side of things. By the way, the Ligaya doctor was very, very good. So not to, some sort of opinion of what exactly, I talk about my legs now, what exactly is my situation, and where is the damage, where are the veins, what are stuff like that, and what's a good path forward, what are the possible ways forward. So, because medical treatment in the Philippines is very expensive, there's nothing like the NHS, so they'd like me to come over here, see if I can get something on the NHS on that side of things. So that's a main reason, apart from the fact I haven't been on holiday for years and haven't been to England for 4.5 years and et cetera. And also we want to look at the longer term. There are also people concerned about the longer term in terms of my health. What's the best way long term of looking at things? So what do I need to do to make sure that if necessary, I can access free NHS in the longer term? So that's also what I'm looking at. And I think there's a good possibility, and it's something I'd like, and actually, the sickness and what happened might actually help this happen. It's something I've wanted for a long time, which is to spend a number of months a year here in England, and maybe a month in Australia, where Stoke, and then the rest in the Philippines. I'd like to die in the Philippines, actually. I like that. When I was sick, I wanted to die, but not in a morbid way. Not in a morbid way. As ready. I mean, we need to be concerned about this life. We need to be very concerned about this life, especially the poor, yeah, and the needy and the sick, etc. We really do. Let's not be so heavenly minded that we're not earthly good. But, you know, in the end, well, we're here for eternity, aren't we? You know, it starts here. It starts here, but, you know, so yeah, I was ready to die, but we should. I'm accepting. I need to be responsible for take responsibility. So I'm following things, and I'm here, and I'm looking at the medical side of things, and I'll try to take care of my health. Yeah. I should stop in a minute. Last thing. What was I going to say? See, memory, huh? Oh yeah. So long term. So it's likely. I think it's likely that I might be here a few months a year. And we'll see. And also, it's my turn for a sabbatical. I was going to have one anyway, actually, next year. So it's been, this next month will be 20 years as a priest, 10 years in the Missionaries of God's Love, and a few other things. And 60 years. I'll be, in the Philippines anyway, I'll officially be a senior. It's funny because I still think of myself as really young. But anyway, okay, so that's basically me. So it's likely, last thing, I think, who knows, but I think when people ask, when are you going to be here until, well, I don't know. But I say maybe November or December I'll return to the Philippines, but it could be earlier or it could be later. but if I do, assuming I go November, December, I'd like very likely to come back February, March next year for a few months of sabbatical as well. So I'll be seeing you around, hopefully. God bless you. Thank you. This is not for me now, but is it too late to sing a little bit of that song, The Goodness of God? Yeah, because in the end, that's what we want to sing, the goodness of God. Yeah, the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. I will sing forever of the goodness of God. Maybe we can sing that for a little bit as a recessional. Okay.